which is gals and seeing everybody's eyes, and you know, the weather's beautiful outside, and guess what? I get to take deep doors off and go for a ride today. The missus gave me permission. So that's what I'm doing today. That makes me happy and excited. So I just wanted to welcome you all, and please keep everybody in prayer. When I say everybody, start with grandma and grandpas, please. It's Easter. They're not able to get out, right? Amen? They're not. Keep them in prayer. Love them. Just give them a call. Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all have these. I know you do, right? It's 2021. Send them a text. Hey, I'm thinking of you. Happy Easter. I love you. Family members, same thing, please. Don't take your family for granted ever. You know, it's nice seeing everybody here. So I'm going to open with prayer. Today we're going to have communion. Pastor will talk about that a little bit more here towards the end when he gets up. What an awesome day to have communion. Our Lord is raised, right? Amen? And he is, amen. You know, it's an exciting thing. Can you imagine going to the tomb? And the tomb's open. And our Lord is not there. How exciting would that be? To know that we have a future, that future we're shared into with our Lord, right? Yes, amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everything, for who you are and your sacrifice, Lord, for today. What a wonderful day that our Lord is risen. That we, O Lord, were clean through your blood and sacrifice. I thank you, Lord, for just willingly sacrificing yourself. And I ask that you look after all of us and you guide us, Lord, and you protect us. Look after the ones who are in the hospital, Lord. Strengthen them. Let your spirit fall upon them, Lord. Lord, please look after our nation. Protect us and guide us. Help us, Lord, become a nation of believers and followers. Look after our departments, Lord, our first responders. Keep them strong. Keep them safe. Look after our national just look after our army, Lord. Not only military, but the army of believers. Keep us strong and safe. Fill our hearts with wisdom, and most of all, joy, for today, Lord, you've risen. In your holy name, Lord, amen.
Shall we stand? As we sing.
He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my stairway. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my stairway. He lives, salvation to impart. Hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my stairway. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Praise, rejoice, and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Oh,
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is great to see you guys this morning. As we head into the message this morning, let's take a few moments and pray. Something we can add to your list is Ron Sauer yesterday took a little bit of a tumble, and he checked the manufacturer's warranty on his hip, and he dislocated that puppy. So I don't know if anybody else has had a dislocated hip in this room, but if that's you, you know what to pray for, because it's no fun. So let's pray for him and continue to pray for those who are sick and those who are in need. Let's do it with a heart and an attitude of joy, knowing that we have a risen Savior who is able to intercede on our behalf. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, what a day it is that we gather together as a family of believers to celebrate your Son who came into this world and lived among us, who was willing and obedient and died on the cross for our sins. But you didn't stop there. It wasn't just about taking away our sins. It was about securing our eternity and giving us more than just hope, more than just a promise. You gave us the guarantee of eternal life when you raised him that first Easter morning from the dead. And because of that, we know that Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf, sitting at the right hand of you, Father God. And because of his great sacrifice, we can come before your throne of grace. And we can surrender to you all of our sin and our shame and our guilt and our pain. And we can ask you, O Lord, to forgive us our sins, for they are many. That you can cleanse us and make us like new. That we truly can rise above the sin that you died to set us free from. And that we can live joyfully knowing that death has no grip a hold of us. So, Lord, we come before you with all of those who are sick and weary and worn out and old and tired and hurting. And we just lay them at your feet and say, Lord God, have your will among them. For old Ron, heal him up and let his hip heal up quickly and let him get back to his feet. And Lord, for the rest of us, do the work that only you can do in our lives. For you are faithful, you are just, you are loving, you are merciful, and you are grace-filled to all who turn to you by faith. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we all get to pray, and all God's people said, amen. He is risen. And it is exciting to be able to gather together as a church today to celebrate Easter and the gospel message for all who believe. And the gospel message is a message of love and hope and of great promise. God offered us love through his Son, Jesus Christ. In John 3:16 and 17, we read, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And even though we deserved condemnation, he extended to us grace. Even though that we separated ourselves from him with sin, he opened up the door to us through love. And how incredible is it that he would love us that much, that he would be willing to send his Son to die in our place, so that we could have everlasting life. Love has been offered to us, and we have found hope in Jesus, being obedient to his Father through his death on that cross. Colossians 1:19 through 20 says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him," meaning Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on that cross." You know, I've had a lot of time over the years to talk to people who have always hoped that they were good enough, that they could do enough to balance the scales themselves. But the reality is that none of us are good enough. None of us are righteous. There was only one righteous, and he died on the cross for our sins that we could become righteous. not on works of ourselves or works of our own, but because of what he has done for us, and he wants to do in us, and he wants to do through each and every one of us. Through his shed blood on the cross, we have found incredible hope that this all doesn't depend on us, but it hinges on what he has done. And because of what he has done, we will be received by him when we come to him through faith as Savior and Lord. And there is an incredible promise found in the strangest of places. Many of us have walked through cemeteries and we've walked through places that are still and quiet, and we go, man, this is the end result for us. But here's the beauty of that. There is an empty grave in which Jesus used to reside. But God raised him up, and he was given over for us to death, but he was raised to life first for us. Jesus was tried and found innocent by Pilate, yet he was convicted for our sins, and he died in our place. And then a man, a simple yet bold man, stepped forward to claim what the world tried to wipe away, sweep under a rug, and forget. And we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 through 61, and it says this: as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. When you read that story and you think of those words and you hear that, one of the things that's pretty amazing is it seemed to be a hopeless moment in time. But that Friday was no ordinary Friday. It wasn't just the good start to a weekend. It was a dismal start to a weekend for those people. But it was the greatest Friday of all. For it was then that Jesus died on the cross, and he had died and was placed in a borrowed tomb, and he only needed it for 3 short days. And it was obvious that the life and death of Jesus had forever marked Joseph and the Marys that were there that day. That location of that tomb and the body of Jesus was something that they could not mistake and misplace. In that moment, all their hopes and dreams had been wrapped up in him and laid into a grave. And it seemed so long ago and empty now that he had made promises that you'll be with me forever. It was a pain-filled moment in time that shook them to their core, and it shook to the core of what they believed. They were scared, like many of us would be. Like any of us who have lost a loved one, how am I going to go on? But here was the thing. They had put all of their hope and trust in this Jesus. Some ran and fled. Some doubted. Some felt that they had wasted these last few years. And as fear crept in, they became overwhelmed. And as they had prepped him, they wept over him, and they hastily put him in the tomb, because the rule is, he had to be in the tomb before the sun set. But so much more needed to be accomplished to make him ready for burial. But time ran out. You know, all of us live in time. The sun comes up and the sun sets. And for some of us, time is running out. And the decisions we make in this life demand an eternity of us. And some of the decisions we make either mark us for eternity as his or keep us separated from him. But as they walked away that night, everything was about to change forever. Matthew 28, 1 through 7 says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, but then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you." It's an incredible moment. It's hard for us to grasp. It's easy for us to accept this side and say, well, that would be cool. But the reality is, in that moment, how would you feel if your loved one, which you buried on Friday, was gone on Sunday? When you showed up to pay respects and you found that the tomb was empty and you knew where you had lain him. These words would be confusing and difficult, and you'd be upset and angry. But what's interesting is the Marys ran back and told the disciples everything that had happened. Remember the great foot race between Peter and John that ran to the tomb, and the great, I like how John puts it, you got to go and read his account of what took place. In that moment, everything was about to change. In John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18, it says, "Then the disciples went back to their homes, and Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken away my Lord,' she said, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him. I will get him.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father, but go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them that he had said these things to her." You know, they had seen the empty tomb and all wondered what happened to Jesus' body. Mary lingered and got to see Jesus and was told to go and tell. And since Mary had seen him face to face and touched him and wept at his feet, she was overjoyed. Not just that she had seen the risen Savior, but he once again called her by name. And Jesus is waiting to call each and every one of us by name. He knows you and he loves you. He knows all the things that you've done wrong and all the sin you've committed. And he says, "I will still call you by name." And this church side of the church isn't exempt, because I know some of the things you all have done. And yet he calls us all by name out of love for each one of us. You see, either Jesus died on the cross to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and his death on the cross is good enough to cleanse every last one of us, no matter what he's done, what we've done, or it's not. And if it's not, then we don't have any hope. But because he took it one step further and said, "Not only have I died for you, I am risen for you, and I sit at my Father's hand, and I intercede for you," he says, "I will come and raise you up." And you know what? I don't know what all your sins are. I know what some of your sins are. I know what my sins are. And that offer from Jesus is enough. It's enough that one day he will call you by name and he will say, "Welcome home, my child." Hopefully he'll say of all of us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But his love for us, his love for us is so great. She was the first to know and to believe that he had risen. And her response was rooted deeper than just her faith. It was with what the facts that she knew that he has risen and he has risen indeed. All that Jesus had taught and promised to them, what he had guaranteed and granted to them when he died on the cross and put an exclamation point on when he rose from the dead, was now theirs and it remains ours. They had not followed and believed in vain. They were not left alone by him, but he was alive and by their side and for them and with them forever, just like he had promised. Our sin debt was paid for and canceled at the cross, and death was defeated that first Easter morning when he rose and left the death clothes behind in an empty tomb. And the words he spoke over Martha, Mary, and Lazarus still ring true for us today. Remember those words from John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, period. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And you know, that's an incredible promise that we can grab a hold of and hang on to. But he asks a very important question of each one of us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we can know things. But it doesn't matter what we know. It matters what we believe. Because knowing is part of the equation, but believing is everything. Believing is what will get you out of bed in the morning and continue on when everyone else says, "I don't know how you're doing this. How do you keep going forward with Jesus no matter what?" Because I believe this. I believe that he's the only hope and he's the only way and he is the only truth. What about for me? Question is, do you believe this? See, so many people put Jesus in their back pocket hoping, "I got this card, I got that one." To some people, he's no more than a Pokemon card, a get-out-of-jail-free card. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And he proved that as true when he raised himself up first among many yet to come, when he raised himself from that borrowed tomb and he seated himself at the right hand of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody who's done that. Nobody but Jesus. And you know what? Because Jesus is the Son of God and he died for our sins and he rose from the dead and he's seated at the Father's right hand, there are four words that only Jesus can speak over your life today. In John 20, 19 through 21, it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said four simple words, 'Peace be with you.'" You know, those four words, "peace be with you," are not simple terms. And they're the only way that we can have those four words reside in our lives is because they come from Jesus. You know, it's interesting. We can comfort one another, but we can't bring peace for one another. I saw something today, and here's the deal. I saw a lady sitting all by herself for the first Easter. And forever, and I saw a friend. Get up, sighed. That brings comfort. But the courage to come that first Easter morning and sit in a pew alone comes from a peace that you can only have. That comes from Jesus. And knowing that even if you're all alone in this world and everyone that you have loved has died and they knew Jesus, it's just for a little while, because one day we will be together again celebrating in his kingdom. That peace be with you that Jesus alone can offer is not something that is a momentary peace, but it is a stay and remain on you type of peace that no matter what comes your way, he can bring you peace in any circumstance. Those four words are not just meant for them at that time or for me today or just for you. It is something that is to ring out through all the earth that Jesus alone can bring peace inside and out no matter what. They are four words that the world needs to know now more than ever, for I believe the time is near and things are falling apart at the seams. And if the world doesn't come under Jesus, it will be consumed by him. John 20, 20 and 21 says this. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed and saw the Lord. When they saw the Lord, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And he said something else. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's a problem, folks. As the Father sent him, he is sending us. You see, this faith that we have isn't a come sit in the pew on Sunday and go about our lives come Monday. This faith that we have and this promise that we have from Jesus is not just about us. It's about him and them. I love this. I wrote down, I don't know where this comes from, but you guys know I'm weird. I said, this is the go, go, go of the gospel. And some of you girls are go, go, girls, and some of you guys are go, go, guys. But we all need to get going, because Jesus Christ, who died and rose and is seated at the Father's right hand, said, we are to go. Matthew 28, 5 through 10, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, but go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, worshipped him. Then he said to them, do not be afraid, but go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. You know what's amazing to me about this? The natural thing that we do and the early church ended up doing was at the empty tomb, they put up a shrine and they go to the spot and they worship. The empty tomb was the least important thing to Jesus in that moment. He said, forget the tomb. Go and tell. I didn't rise from that hole in the ground so you could come back and spend time at the hole in the ground. I was raised from the dead so that you could go and take the gospel to all the people who are lost and need it. If that isn't enough, the great promise keeper says to us this, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Jesus came to them and said some very important words that you and I need to pay careful attention to. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me/Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and go teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I am surely with you always to the very end. See, ladies and gentlemen, it is full of hope and promise in the fact that the tomb is empty, and one day, just like Jesus, we will be raised from the dead. It is guaranteed with his blood, and there's no other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. And there is a requirement that comes after our great salvation is accepted on our part. And that's we have no excuse but to go with the gospel and tell everyone about it. And give them the same option that Jesus has given to us. Because if we're not obeying him by doing these things, then my question for us today is he really our Savior and our Lord? Because if all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and we're not going with the gospel and sharing the gospel with people as he's told us to do, then I question whether or not he is Savior and Lord. And some people don't like to hear that. But, you know, I grew up in a family where I found out that my father was the biggest traitor I knew. I grew up in a Chevy family. And I remember in 1988 when my dad showed his true colors as a turncoat and bought a stinking Ford. No, he didn't wise up because he said it was the biggest mistake he had ever made. And he was right. But even the Chevy guy turned out to outdo his dad one day when he showed up to this union auto worker's home driving a Toyota. God have mercy upon my soul. You know, we can say we're a Chevy guy, we can say we're a Ford guy, we can say we love Toyotas, or we can say we like Pontiacs or whatever. And we're going to prove ourselves wrong. But one thing for sure is, if we say that we love Jesus and we follow him, there should never be a question in that from beginning to end. Oh, there's going to be times when we waver and we falter and we fall. But hear the good news. When, if we sin, we confess our sin. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and send us on our way with the gospel. So like Peter and the rest, you and I are in good company of a bunch of failure Christians who need to get back up and on the horse. Because if we don't go with the gospel and overtake the world with the gospel, the world will overtake and destroy the church and everything Jesus died to save. And the unfortunate thing is, the church is leaving the door wide open for the world and sin to reign in it. So my friends and family, it's time for us to take the gospel and the Savior who died to save us and set us free seriously, to live holy and pleasing lives to him. And if you know the gospel and you claim it as your own, then you must go with the gospel and share it. But if you need the love and the hope and the peace that only comes through Jesus, then I want you to know something, then you can grab a hold of it today and you too can be saved. But here's the catch. You got to go too with the gospel. And your changed life might be the most incredible testimony to change lives, more so than any of us old Christians that have been sitting around for years waiting for that great day. Because it might be you that goes and saves the lost world through the gospel message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's pray. And don't forget, worship team, you just sit where you're at. Father God, thank you so much for sending your son. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you were willing and obedient to die on the cross for our sins. Father and Lord, we thank you that you are all powerful and we're able to be raised from the dead. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come here this day, that you would comfort, you would encourage, you would bring the peace that only you can bring, and that you would empower us to go into all the world with the gospel message so that the whole world might know that you came and lived and died and rose to seek and save that which is lost, not to condemn it. And that the offer of salvation is given to everyone, but it is only received by those who will believe and put their faith and trust in the risen Savior. So Lord, use us, change us from the inside out. Where we are weak and we doubt, remove our doubt. Where we have questions, give us courage and boldness to ask. And may we find the answers alone in you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we get to pray. And all God's people said, amen. One of the great things we get to do every Easter is we get to celebrate communion together. And today we come and we celebrate communion as a body of believers. And our communion is open to anyone who has put their faith and trust into you, Lord Jesus. And we have these little cups around. They're in the pews. They're in front of you in the little cup holders. I think they're down here on this end. So hopefully you didn't sit on them and squish them, but that's all right. But back rows, you're getting in the overflows. They're being passed out. But today we're going to celebrate communion together. So come to the table of the Lord and be satisfied. Be filled and be reminded of all he is for you in a time when all you have known seems to have been stripped away or uprooted or made different in the past year. Remember that it is the Lord who said in Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." And with 2020 being the year that it was and the brokenness we already see in 2021, it's hard for all of us to imagine the closeness offered to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't social distance very well. He indwells and walks with and lifts up the downtrodden and the brokenhearted. He is the author of creation and the sustainer of all things, and he holds our past, our present, and our future all in his nail-scarred hands. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And according to the Father's set plans and his Son's willing obedience, the offer of grace, mercy, and love is extended to all who would believe and trust him for salvation. Today we have celebrated Easter, which is a time when we remember that even though Jesus died for our sins on the cross, he was risen from the dead as a guarantee of the promise he made to us, that we will live with him forever. That is why this great promise is able to be fulfilled, is that Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, offered himself as a living sacrifice for the sins of the world. He lived among us. And as an innocent man, he was tried and convicted for the sins of sinful man by sinful men. And he died on that cross and was buried and laid in a borrowed tomb. And he is risen. And he is risen indeed. Paul reminds us of the great act of love and devotion by our Savior in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, where it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" There's a bit of beauty in that. When you proclaim the Lord's death on the cross for your sins, you're acknowledging that you can't do it on your own. That you are a sinful person needing God's grace, mercy, and love. And today we remember the sacrifice of our Lord and celebrate the fact that one day he will come back for us, because he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples and several hundred other followers and proved that he was alive. We don't live hoping, we live with the confident assurance that he will come for us. And then he ascended into heaven. He and the angels and the scriptures all testified to that which we would believe. We believe with our eyes of faith, firmly fixed upon the sky, that one day he will come back for us, and living or dead, we'll be raised up and given everlasting life. This great hope is given with the grave warning of these words in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. "Therefore, whoever eats of the bread or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." There's some ideas behind that verse. One is that people who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord were taking communion when they didn't believe what Jesus had done. And if that's you this morning, please feel free not to take it with us. It's okay. Maybe next year. We don't want to impose on you something that you can't do with a clear conscience. The other is that in that passage it says a man ought to examine himself, that there is sin in our lives that we're not willing to let go of, that we're grabbing a hold of, that we keep going back and picking up, that we need to let go of, so that we can let the death of Jesus wash it all away. So for the rest of us, I have a question. What sins are you grabbing so tightly to that you're refusing to receive the grace of Jesus? What are you holding on to this morning that you just need to lay down so your hands can be open to receive what he has for you this year? It's an important question. I don't have all the answers for you on that, but God does. And David knew this full well, because in Psalm 139, 23 through 24, he prayed this prayer to God: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. If there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, ladies and gentlemen, God knows us better than we know ourselves. That's why he sent to us Jesus. And today, we need to invite him to look inside us and show us who we really are. So let's take a moment, search, and ask God to search with us and shine his light brightly on the sins we need to lay at his feet before we go any further. So let's pray. Search us, O God, not for your sake, but for our sake. Show us our sins as they are and as you see them. Reveal to us those things of pride and arrogance, lust of the flesh, and greed and malice. Show us what you really see that you, Jesus, needed to die for. God, may these be the things that we are willing to lay at your feet this day. For you have promised us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. For you, Jesus, did not die on the cross so that you could just forgive us our sins, but to set us free from them. We are not to live in things you call sin any longer. So, Lord God, may we die to those things like you died for us on that cross. And may we find your forgiveness washing and cleansing us from the inside out. And may we find peace that only comes from knowing and loving you. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior and Lord of all, we pray. Amen. So this morning, these little packs are fantastic. You're going to want to push down a little bit, and that'll release that little piece of plastic on top. And that'll make it a little easier to open up, because all you need at this point is what's on top. So go ahead and get out that cool little wafer this morning. See, ladies and gentlemen, what's unique about this is this wafer represents the reality of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. His body given for us, sacrificed for us. And it's something that we cannot forget. It was so important that he would set this in motion, that we'd be reminded of this time and time again, that in the Word of God we read, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I don't want it to sound so simple, but yet it is. That every time that the disciples looked at a piece of bread, they couldn't look at it the same way anymore. That every time that they had even just a piece of bread, they thought of Jesus. And today we come and we have this wafer representing that piece of bread, that life given for us. And we do it remembering what has been done for us by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So please read with me. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. You may eat the bread. And that night that he was betrayed, he also reminded us, and he was foretelling for the disciples, but also having it recorded for us for all time, that he took the cup. And he said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." And you know, every time we take in nourishing food and we take a drink of something, we need to remember where it flows from. But most importantly, we can be reminded that his blood was shed to forgive us all our sins. This cup is a reminder of the blood Christ shed for your sins and my sins. And it's his blood that binds us together as God's family. It takes us from this world and unites us in the great mystery of his love and grace and mercy. And because of his shed blood, we are forgiven, we are free, and we are his family forevermore. So please read with me. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. You may partake. Please pray with me. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, enable us to go with the gospel into all the world. And may we do it rejoicing, knowing that the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his body given for us enables us to be free and family and forgiven forever. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song together.
Because he lives, because
Couple quick reminders before you go. One, take your little cups and give all your trash to Dick Smith in the back. Number two, today's offering, all of it is going to be going to help out Libby Thulin and her family right now and what they're facing. Give as the Lord leads and give generously, and may you be blessed because of your generosity towards Christ and how he is going to use that to be a blessing. And don't forget, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And because he is, we shall be too. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this great day that we celebrate. We celebrate your great salvation offered to us. For where we were weak and helpless and hopeless and lost and bound for hell, you stepped in and said, I offer you life, forgiveness, freedom, and family forevermore. Trust in my son, who loved you so much, he died for you. And we raised him from the dead. And Lord God, I pray that there isn't a person in this room or watches this message online that does not know your goodness, mercy, and love. But all by faith would come to salvation through you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see ya. Offering plates are on the way out.